This is light to guide our feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The reading begins at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pick up the power. Pick up the power. Pick up the power. Our topic for this worship service, as you heard read in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of the gospel of Jesus Christ and connects it to God and the prophets of the Old Testament. For he says that God promised it afore by his prophets in the Old Testament. He said that he was separated unto the gospel. And if you are a young minister or not so young, you should be separated unto the gospel. You may ask, well, does that mean that the only thing I can do is preach the gospel? We don't find that being true from Paul's life, for Paul was also a tent maker, and he worked with his hands in the business of tent making, but he preached and preached and preached. And so what we have record of is his preaching. And there is a reference in the Holy Bible to his having done some tent making, but he was separated unto the gospel. I don't know if you understand what you have in this gospel. Maybe you're looking at the structures that be on planet Earth, and maybe you're looking for a mega church. Well, if you have mega word, that is mega gospel, that's fine. But if you have mega church, mega numbers, and minimal gospel, I think that's a problem. There are those of you who do not have churches at all. But I would say don't worry about that. For every human being, every heart is a ministerial opportunity. You say, well, but what about the money? If you can get past the money, you can do effective ministry. Forget the money. Forget the money. Forget the money. Pick up the power. Paul said about the gospel, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Pick up the power. Some of you would retort, no doubt, but people won't listen to me. They don't seem to be listening to me. They're watching TV. They're watching the game. They're out doing exciting things. They don't want to hear the word. Do not worry about that, my son. Do not worry about those who do not want to hear. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus knew that not all would listen. Getting them to listen, and let me say this properly, is not really your problem. Your problem is preaching it according as God would have it preached. You may not want to preach it the way I do. I'm very strong. Your experiences are not as mine are. You should not try to sound like me. There are people who will not receive you if you sound the way I do. You need to sound the way God wants you to sound. And you may ask, well, Reverend, why should I not sound like you? You say that you've been a minister more than 25 years. You should be an example. Your experience and your experiences are not as mine are. I am a wilderness minister. I have been in the thick of the spiritual wilderness for many years, and I stay in pitched battle with the demons of hell. That's why I'm so strong. When I come to the church, I forget that I'm not in pitched battle with the devil. He has attacked me in every way he can almost. You don't have time to listen to the ways in which I have been attacked spiritually. I'm a warrior. A warrior, a warrior. You perhaps are not. That's why you should not try to sound like me. But we use the same weapon. The weapon is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You preach it your way, as the Holy Ghost says. I preach it my way. You are not perhaps in the wilderness. You perhaps are not in pitched spiritual battle on a constant basis. And I mean constant with Satan. But I am. And I have to be strong. And if I don't, he would overcome me. And so, pick up the power. I will testify to you that there is power. There are times, my dear brother, that I've been called to preach in churches where there is no power of God. And when I, or there at least is not much, and when I step in the pulpit, I can feel the forces of hell in that pulpit. I take the word of God and I do spiritual battle before I preach. And God's power falls in that service. Now, oftentimes, and I don't preach that much in pulpits, I don't seek that much preaching. I don't really desire a lot of pulpit preaching right now because, again, I'm a wilderness minister. I'm in battle with Satan. But when I do go to a church, and from time to time people call me to go, and when I use the power of the Word of God to do battle with Satan before I preach my sermon, the power of God falls in that church. Now, I will warn you, people are not accustomed to a preacher doing spiritual battle with Satan in the pulpit. And they look at me strange. But before the service is over, they see the results. One woman told me, she said, I have never heard, this was an old woman, I have never heard a sermon that good in all my life. Other people have come and said, you look like an angel of God preaching there. It's not me. It's because I picked up the power. I picked up the power. What is the power, Reverend? It is the word of God. It is the power. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So my brother and my sister, you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, pick up the power. Pick up the power. Don't dare go trying to do battle, spiritual battle, without the word of God. It works. It works. It works outside of the church. It works in the wilderness where I dwell and where I engage in battle with Satan. But it works in the pulpit. I've used it numerous times. Oh, yes, the deacons look strange. Even the pastor looks strange. We don't do that in here, they're saying, in their mind, I assume. But when I finish, they see the results. You must rebuke the devil. You see, some churches are weak, and a pastor goes in, and he's expected to be real mild and real calm, and oftentimes the Holy Ghost works that way. But those of us who've engaged Satan on a constant basis, those of us who've been hindered by his hindering demons, and he has hindered me many times, and I've all only overcome by the power of God. Those of us who understand spiritual warfare, we understand you must address him. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Use the words of the Bible. The Lord rebuke thee, said the angel. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. That's what the scripture says. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Then you read the word of God. I bring against you the power of God. I plead the blood of Jesus. One thing you may do, young preacher, have the congregation stand up and all say the Lord's Prayer. Have them stand up and all repeat the name of Jesus a number of times before you preach. Have them all stand up. Have them all shout hallelujah a number of times. Demons have almost taken over us. some churches. And if you go in there and if you do not do battle with those church dwelling demons, you will not be able to preach. They will sit on your ministry and you will feel that it's like pulling teeth trying to preach. So when you walk in that pulpit, a lot of times you can tell by just talking to and looking at the pastor in his study, by what he's saying and what he's doing, a lot of times you can tell whether or not you're going to have trouble preaching, because you will see the weak, the spiritual weakness. But when you get into that pulpit, you do battle with Satan. But this is not just about the pulpit. It is about every day. It is about maintaining the power. That's why in this ministry, you hear me read so much of the word. Most of you have never in your lives heard a minister read as much of the word of God as you've heard me read. The Lord showed me the power. I went to a Bible school. I went to a number of schools, but in studying the Bible, but I went to one. I won't name it, and the reason I don't want to name it, I don't want to connect them with me because I don't want them to be embarrassed because of my strength and because of my wilderness manner in preaching. So I won't name them, but one thing I learned in one of those Bible schools was the power that's in the Word of Almighty God. There is power in the Word of Almighty God. And what they taught me is true. It's true. It's true. There is power in that word. You say, well, Reverend, I heard there is power in the name. Yes, there's power in the name. Then somebody said, well, Paul didn't say power in the word. Paul said the gospel has the power. Well, what constitutes the gospel, my friend? Does not the word of God constitute the gospel? Or let me ask it another way. Can you preach the gospel without the word? If you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ without the word of God, I'll stop there. Think about that. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ without the word of God? Maybe I better read this again for you. Let me read again that portion of Romans chapter 1 that I read at the outset. Maybe some of you are trying to preach the gospel without the word. I believe that's a grave mistake, to try to preach the gospel without the word. Pick up the power. The power. The power. The power is in the Word of God. Yes, the gospel is the power, but the gospel is composed of the Word of God. There is no substitute. If you never read a Bible commentary, if you never read a Reverend Dr. this and a Bishop so-and-so or a Bishop that book, read the Bible. Read the Bible. That's where the power is. It is not the commentary that has the power, except the Word of God in the commentary. But the power is in the Word. And yes, the power is in the name, but the name is also the word. The power is in the name of Jesus. Preach the way God would have you preach. You may have a soft manner. You may not be strong like me. You may not sound like a wilderness preacher as I do. But preach the word. Whatever your manner is, preach the word. Let me read this again for you. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Would you get people saved? It's the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the word of God that tells the true account of Jesus Christ our Lord. I've given you a definition that I just made up. The gospel is the word of God that tells the true account of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the word of God that tells the true account of Jesus Christ. Another way of saying it, the gospel is the word of God that tells the truth about Jesus Christ. The gospel is the word of God that tells the truth about Jesus Christ. What is that truth, Reverend? That Jesus Christ was born on planet Earth to a virgin, that he lived on planet Earth for 33 years, that during his final 3 years on planet Earth, he ministered and preached. These are the surrounding elements of the gospel. The crux of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and that in order to do that, he had to die. That Jesus Christ died. That Jesus Christ was buried. That Jesus Christ rose again the third day. And some denominations would include in the gospel that he ascended back to heaven, which he did, and sat on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But if you are preaching a gospel that does not let people know that Jesus died for their sins, that in that death he made it possible for them to have peace with God, that he bridged the chasm of separation, the chasm of sin, and not just the chasm of sin, he took away sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took it away. He died. He hung on Calvary's cross. He was hung on Calvary's cross. He hanged on Calvary's cross. He hanged on the cross at Calvary. They hanged him on the cross at Calvary. He was hung on the cross at Calvary. He hanged there on the cross at Calvary. He died there on the cross at Calvary. He couldn't be taken down until he was dead. And to make sure he was dead, they pierced him in his side. He died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross, not in the grave, not on the ground. He died. He was dead. The Romans testified that he was dead. Pilate found and heard that he was already dead. That's what the Bible said. Already dead. And that was while he was on the cross. The Romans, who were not the Jews and who were not the Christians, but the Romans ascertained and certified that Jesus, while hanging on the cross, was already dead. He was buried. He rose the third day from the dead. This is the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Reverend, you said, for therein. What does that therein mean? It means in the gospel. In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith in salvation. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's no salvation without the gospel. There's no salvation without the gospel. And some of you who are in church, and I don't want to harm you, but I don't want to hurt you if you're not saved. Some of you may not be saved. I'm pretty sure some of you aren't saved. I know from the word that some of you aren't saved. You need to get saved. You need to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are calling yourself a Christian, if you are calling yourself a Christian and you do not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, I, as a minister of the gospel, do not see how you can be already saved. You do not believe that Jesus died on the cross. If you do not believe that he was dead, if you do not believe that he rose again from the dead, how on earth can you be a true Christian? And there may be some churches teaching that one or two or more of those elements are not true. If your church is teaching that, you need to get it right, or you need to get right on out of there right quick. Whichever one the Holy Ghost tells you to do, out of there quickly. Get it right, or get right out of there quickly. If either of those elements is missing, Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. If either of those three irreplaceable, uncompromisable elements is missing from your church, from your theology, from your faith, I believe you have a problem. You must believe that Jesus died. You must believe that he was dead. When I said died, I don't mean momentarily in earth time. I mean he was dead 3 days. Or at least he was in the grave 3 days. He was dead when he was laid in the grave. Now, I don't know what moment he came back alive, but the Bible says he rose again the 3rd day. Now, your theology may say that he descended into hell. Your theology may say that he preached to the demons there. I'm not going there tonight in this service. I'm not going to preach that. I'm not going to discuss that tonight. But the one thing I stand on, Jesus was dead. And that he rose from the dead on the 3rd day. Jesus died. He was dead. He was buried. And he rose from the dead. Now, if you're missing any of those elements in your theology, your church has a serious, serious problem. That's why you're off base in many other areas, because you don't really believe the gospel. You've probably made up your own theology because it suits the sins of your leaders and the sins of some of your members. People are making up things these days, it appears to me. I'm a minister. I stand on the word of God. But some have been deceived, because Satan does not want you to pick up the power. The word of God is the power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Pick up the power. Pick up the power. How often do you read the word of God? How often do you meditate in the word of God? How often do you think on the word of God? Pick up the power. And young preacher, some of you are afraid to preach. Some of you are afraid to minister because you're afraid you're going to make a mistake. As far as I am concerned, and I have been a minister for at least 25 years, as far as I am concerned, if you take that Bible and get into that pulpit and read a scripture and sit down, If God says so, that's a sermon. You say, yeah, but the pastor won't have me back. See, that's your problem. You're worried about people. Pray to the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, give me a scripture. Tell me what to say. Yeah, but Reverend, they want a 20-minute sermon. And I can read it in 5 minutes, but I'm not like you. I can't just say a lot of stuff about it. Do not worry about that. If you truly are called, Paul said he was called and separated. Now, if God called you and separated you, he did that. So why don't you let him just lead you in whatever else you're doing? But some of you are sitting there not preaching because the devil will sit you down. He'll have men and women sit you down. They tried to do it to me. That's why I'm wary of some church structures. Because when I was in church structures, a lot of times they wouldn't let me do what the Holy Ghost wanted me to do. You've got to understand that your God is not man, but your God is God. Listen to me, preacher. Your God is not man. They're going to, well, you don't have this degree. You don't have that degree. It's fine if God says so to have that degree and this degree. But the devil is a liar. You get the power. Pick up the power. Go into the street if God says so. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. It's a very, if you are in the United States of America these days, young preacher, you can sit most of your life and do nothing. They will tell you, well, you don't have this degree and we won't give you a church. You don't know this and you don't know that. While some of them, not all, are fornicating, adulterating, homosexuating, abortitating, aborting people and all kinds of stuff, they're telling you, you ain't got this. You tell the devil, don't argue with them, but it's the devil generally. Now there are pastors and bishops, well, you know, you got to sit under people. The world is going to hell, and so you're sitting there waiting until a man says, preach. Now, we ought to be obedient to those that God puts over us. But you make sure that God has put that person over you. Because there are times when the devil will put people over you and you will never preach because they are weak, they are sinful, and they are doing the devil's bidding and they don't want you to preach because you will show them up for what they are because you have picked up the power, and they are preaching another gospel. Pick up the power. Pick up the power. The devil will keep you sitting, and you will do nothing. Pick up the power. If God has called you to preach, and you are separated, you have to understand, young reverend pastor, young man who's not pastoring, you've got to understand that a lot of churches now are being run by people who are not saved. People who do not believe the gospel. People who do not want the gospel. People who want a philosophy which will allow them to do what they want to do. Pick up the power. Pick up the power. Pick up the power. And then what, Reverend? Pray to God. Pray to God. Pray to God. Pray to God. Read the word. Read the word. Read the word. And don't be so anxious to get into some great big church structure. That is not what Christianity is about. Yes, it's what America is about, but it is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about knowing Almighty God. and telling other people about him. Young preacher, I want you to get a book. Go to the library, young preacher. I want you to find yourself a book on a man named Francis Asbury. I want you to find yourself a book about a man named Francis Asbury. He was a circuit rider. He wasn't in the church structure. He would ride into a town that had big churches, where the church was set up and settled and the church was official. He would ride into town and go to the courthouse square or any public place and preach the gospel. And there are ministers who wrote and agree that it was not the organized church that saved Christianity during the 1800s, but it was Francis Asbury riding his horse up and down America, going to the courthouse or whatever public place, sleeping in the woods, sleeping in the fields, being sick half the time. So sick, just before his death, they had to tie him onto his horse. So sick, just before his death, when he went to South Carolina, the slaves came to see him, and he was so absolutely emaciated, they passed by his emaciated form. They're sick to death and didn't say a word. Get yourself a book on Francis Asbury. Francis Asbury, circuit rider. Francis Asbury. They had big churches. They had organized churches. Now, he was a part of the structure. He had been sent by the Wesley boys. It wasn't that he did not fellowship with them, and he did have them over him, and he did make reports to them. But he was a circuit rider, and he rode up and down this country during the 1800s, so much so that when they make you a statue in Washington, D.C., and you are not some great big bishop of a mega church, you must be somebody. The last time I checked, there was a statue in Washington, D.C. of the circuit rider Francis Asbury. If you are sitting there twiddling your thumbs while sinful ministers will not allow you to preach the gospel, you pick up the power of God and you read the word and do a little research on Francis Asbury. This thing about the gospel, you don't have to be in a mega church. They don't have to rubber stamp you. The only stamp you need is the genuine impression of Almighty God. That's all you need for preaching. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. That's what you need. That's some of their problems. They went to seminary, but they were never called, not all. They were never separated unto the gospel. I'm not here to criticize the church, but I've seen the weakness, some of it. I've seen some of the wickedness, some of it. Get the word. Pick up the power. Now, it's not easy out here because the church does provide a buffer. The church helps. If you have a wife and a family, it can be very hard. It can be very hard. It can destroy them if God doesn't keep your family together. So you got to understand, if you ever become a wilderness minister, it's about the next most difficult thing to being in hell itself. But you can survive because God is with you. But you got to be ready. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in him. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in him. Pick up the power, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.